Blog Talk Radio.
Faces of Success Radio. Your girl, Miss Diamond. You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go. You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go.
Hey, 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 what's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Interviews with the Stars. I am your host, who needs no introduction, Miss Diamond, and I have some special things in store for you today. So, you think you're ready for another hot show? Well, I don't know about you, but I am, okay? First of all, I would like to dedicate this show to Della Reese, who had a wonderful, wonderful birthday this week. So happy birthday to Miss Della Reese. This show is dedicated to you. And so happy birthday to her and anyone else who is celebrating a birthday this week. And later on this hour, we have today's special guest, The Waters. And we're going to talk about special birthdays later on this hour as well. Coming up, I also have some great songs for you, today's hot topic, and you know my special guest that's going to be in the studio later. You won't want to miss this. I mean, trust me when I tell you. Be seated, sit back, relax, and, you know, grab you a nice cold water because I know it may be hot wherever you're at, but, you know, just get ready, okay? So you want to chat with me, you want to request a song or chime in on today's hot topic, hit me up on Facebook at Miss Diamond Hot Topics or follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Diamond Hot Topics, and I'll make sure I get that on for you. I'll make sure I holler at you when you chat with me, and you definitely want to tune in and chime in on today's hot topic. Coming up, today's hot guest, next hour, The Waters. Stay tuned right here as I bring you Interviews with the Stars. Sit back, relax. We'll be right back.
Got me shook. After all of the fighting and your screams, snatched up the keys, then you got in the rain, knowing that it's raining. Why not go? I don't know how long it took, but I know that I drove all around trying to calm it down. Wouldn't ask for my car.
Like that.
Yeah.
How you expect for me not to fight back when you scream like that?
Girl, I love you more than that.
Night at the club or I hit up a blunt.
I love you more than that. 'Cause you're all that I want. Tell you how I feel. Everything that I'm working for is yours. How could I ignore when I wanna be yours? But I slam the door.
Why don't I love?
What kind of man don't understand the difference between a penny and a dime? Must have lost my mind. You and me was on the grind once upon a time.
Why let you go?
fight back when you scream like that.
Girl, I love you.
And a night at the club, oh, I see it in my blood.
I love you more than that.
Cause
you want that, I want that.
I
hurt you, girl.
I do.
I don't wanna live.
I can't live without you.
If I broke your heart,
I do.
I can't live without you.
I
can't
live without you.
I
can't
live without you.
I can't
waiting for some 25 or more. That's all I need. Oh, kisses in the moonlight, sugar, that would make this night complete. There got to be. Oh, kisses in the moonlight, sugar, fly away. Got no time for fun and dreams, but every now and then the dream is real, and this is how it feels. Yeah, yeah. Once in your life, forget about tomorrow. Tonight is the night. Our worries seem so far away. You hold me in your arms so tenderly. Only want a taste of your sweet, sweet food. Oh, kisses in the moonlight, sugar, that would make this night complete. There have got to be. Oh, kisses in the moonlight, sugar, fly away with me. Oh, fly away with me.
Moving, baby, let me and I'll make it so. You'll be my only true lover, no competition, no other. Maybe it's just the thrill of the chase, but I've got a feeling I'm winning this race. Baby, I'm getting much closer, I just need permission, so
nigga factory. She said, what kind of girl do you think that I are? The kind that you meet in a bar. You think you can get whatever you want, cause you some kind of star. No, I'm a comment, I just want your woman. Hey, if I were you, it would be me that I go home with. Three, the one and only. One thing you ain't considered, I heard you when you told your girl, ooh, we can get it. Admit it, you did it. Let's hop a cab and split it. I'm kidding, we both going to where you living. I got you giggling like a piglet. Oh, that's the ticket. I hope you're more like Anita Baker than Robin Givens. No, I don't know that lady, so let me quit it. I'm just style freeing, freestyling, which I seldom do. This is what I'm telling you.
Everybody, we're back live right here on Interviews with the Stars, and I'm ready to jump into today's hot topic. So today's hot topic is why successful people leave their loser friends behind. And thanks for the topic submission from one of our lovely listeners. So shout out to you for submitting the topic and wanting to know and asking why do successful people leave loser friends behind. Well, today I'm going to give you three reasons why that could happen, you know, and why that happens. Well, we all want to be amazing. We all want to be successful, happy, and regarded as most important figures in our field, you know. I'm sure that you've heard all the keys to success before: planning, hard work, perseverance, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, today we're going to take a look at the one factor that will likely make or break your success, you know, and that the people you surround yourself with. I mean, you are the average of five people that you spend the most time with. So today you need to take a look at your circle. Look at the people around you, you know, when we talk about success. So first of all, we're going to talk about three essential people. You know, a mentor once told me that no matter how many close people you have in your network, if you want to be truly great, you must have three essential people in your life at all times. I mean, at all times, really, people. One is a person who is older and more successful than you that you can learn from. The second person is someone who is equal to you to exchange ideas with. The third person is a person below you to coach you and to keep you energized. I mean, a great figure of history who embodied this principle was Aristotle, one of the great minds ever graced this beautiful earth. I mean, really, constantly challenging himself, working to refine his talent. He exchanged ideas with other Greek philosophers in the academy, learning from his mentor, Plato, and even taught a young boy, Alexander, who later became the great Alexander the Great. So I think that you should surround yourself with people who are only going to lift you higher. Every great person was, is, or will be successful because of the companies he or she keeps. They will make an impact because of the successful network or driven peers who provide them both inspiration and healthy competition. Healthy competition, not aggressive or hating competition. Who wants that? Nobody wants that. But if you want to be remarkable, you must constantly challenge yourself and surround yourself with remarkable people. I mean, so do you think that your goals are unreachable? Well, guess what? Everyone around you are going to think your goals are unreachable as well. You know, take a look around you. Take a look at the people around you who have goals and who have set goals and, you know, just kind of learn from them and inspire them, you know. You do need to make a break my goal list. When you write that list, you say, you know what, I broke that. Let me get to the next level. You know what I'm saying? So what you really need to do is keep those kind of people around you. Next up, when I come back, I'm going to talk about how nobody does it alone, okay? Meaning there is no I in team, okay? So shout out to the people on your team and the people behind things who are helping you become successful, you know? So we'll be right back right here on Face of Success Radio. I am your host, Ms. Diamond.
We want to thank you for coming out tonight. Right now it's time to slow it down. So you grab your lady real tight and you just rock to this. Yeah. Sounds real good, y'all, don't it?
Your love is so magnificent, I'm jubilant. I thank God every day your heaven sent you.
Lord have mercy.
Stop chasing them skirts, turn my butt to work. Stop hanging at the clubs, even went to church. Cause you, and I just wanna describe your love, oh yeah girl.
It's like my ride without the windows tinted. A TV's in it, I just don't roll that way, baby. I need you in my life, my life, my life, my life is you.
And we are back. We are back. That was Good Love from RL. Remember the group Next? Well, that was RL from that group. I mean, definitely a throwback song. And just wanted to take y'all back, give y'all some feel good while we talk about successful people and why they leave their loser friends behind. Well, the next thing that I want to bring up is nobody does it alone. Like I said before, there is no I in team. There is, you know, the five-minute rule may be a little bit extreme, but there's an important lesson for you to learn from it. I mean, if you surround yourself with positive people who build you up, guess what? The sky is definitely the limit. There's an ideal in our society that self-made man, it doesn't exist. You know, a man who's able to find success through his own efforts. Now, don't get me wrong. Success does not require an immense amount of determination and personal grit. However, success also depends on the ability to connect with people who have already made it. There was once a man named Ernest Hemingway. If you aren't familiar with Ernest Hemingway, he was one of the greatest American writers of all time. I mean, even a great writer like Hemingway didn't succeed on his own. He worked at a newspaper where his boss, a writer named Sherwood Anderson, helped him get his first novel published. Hemingway then connected with other no-name writers like F. Scott Fitzgerald, Virginia Woolf, and James Joyce. You know, this community of great writers helped to influence his style, his success, and drove him to write every single day and become one of the greatest authors of his generation, really. I mean, Hemingway is a testament to the fact that talent does not always equal success. It's hard to keep up a strict schedule, you know, to perfect your craft and improve yourself all at the same time. If you don't have people around you with similar interests, you know, your network, your five key people, you know, will determine the way you think, the way you act, and the way you approach your life goals. You know, I think that it is very important to surround yourself with those people who are like-minded and want to actually see you propel to the next level. You don't ever want to be around somebody who is a naysayer, who is a doubter, who is a hater, who just speaks negatively. You really need to surround yourself with positivity. You need to surround yourself with people who are actually going somewhere, people you can learn from, and not people who are just trying to be around you to take from you as well. Everybody around you is not looking for an opportunity to help you. Some people are looking for an opportunity to take from you. I mean, it's even crazy to me that you see people who want to stick around you and be around you just so they can stay in your business and see what you got going on in your life, you know. And everybody that's praying for you, oh, don't get me started on them. But it is what it is. But when I come back, I'm going to also talk about the make or break list, the list that you should make, and why successful people leave their loser friends behind.
I can feel
that's exactly how you should live. You should definitely live your life like it's golden. Welcome back to the show. Of course, I am your host, Ms. Diamond. And if you want to chat with me about today's topic, which is leaving successful people who are successful, who leave their loser friends behind, then, of course, you can chime in on Facebook. You can hit me up right now, Ms. Diamond Hot Topics is my page. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Same name, Ms. Diamond Hot Topics. You know what it is. And later on next hour, today's special guest is The Waters. You definitely won't want to miss this interview. It's going to be hot. It's going to be nothing less than amazing, okay? So we're talking about why successful people leave their loser friends behind. Well, there's the make or break list. A good friend of mine once told me of a man he knew who brought himself up from rags to riches. I mean, living paycheck to paycheck was a luxury for this man, and he decided that he was tired of being trapped in his own life. The poor man looked around at all his friends and noticed that one of them, who wasn't particularly smart or more talented, had become quite wealthy. I mean, he asked this man how he had accrued this wealth. You know, how was he able to become a millionaire? The wealthy man's response was simple: keep the right company. I think that was the best response, okay? The man took that advice to heart. He quickly noticed that all of the other friends he had hated hard work. They had no desire to improve themselves. They had no ambition, and they definitely didn't have any goals. I mean, so he sought out new friends. He went around to conventions and seminars to connect with people who had made something of themselves. After he had completely replaced the people in his network, he decided to make a list. This list was very simple. It had a column for people who would improve his life and a column for people who would just drag him down the drain, really. If someone could improve his life, he spent as much time around them as possible. If someone could drag him down, he never spent more than 5 minutes around them. After following and making his make or break list, the man was able to become a millionaire within 3 years. I think that is definitely all around you at all times. You have to worry about, oh, I'm not going to use the word worry because that's whack, but you have to definitely keep an eye out on the company you keep. I mean, if your friends aren't going anywhere, they're not trying to become successful, they're not trying to get to the next level, I mean, really, why are you around them? Because they're cool, because they make you laugh? Well, guess what? They can make you laugh from afar, okay? So today I encourage you all to hook up with people who are like-minded. I also encourage you to learn from them. Make a list of the things that you want to do to become successful. And also take a look at their list and look at how they're trying hard and working hard to become successful as well. Don't hang around losers. That's all I'm saying. So we'll be back more on this topic. Hit me up on Facebook, Ms. Diamond Hot Topics. And next hour, get ready for an exclusive interview with The Waters right here on Facebook Success Radio.
Hey, baby, where you there with?
Hey.
We come through a lot of things, you know. So what happened to you? Make one little mistake, you want done us.
New Jasmine, let's go.
If I had you back in my world, I would prove that I could be a better girl. Oh, if you let me back in, I would show never, never, never let you go again. Hey, baby. Ooh, I was so foolish to ever leave your side.
there with my arms and my arm, you know what I mean? Make can't think, make can't eat, make can't breathe. One, two, why you make me go through, then you suck me up. Come back to me, baby, yeah, I'ma do anything for you, yeah.
And we are back. You are live with Interviews with the Stars, and I am your host, Ms. Diamond. And today's show is dedicated to anybody who has a birthday out there. So first of all, I want to say a wonderful, wonderful happy birthday to Ms. Maxine Waters. Her birthday was on yesterday, and she's one of today's special guests. So I want everyone to welcome special guest into the studio. The Waters. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And thanks a lot.
First of all, thank you. This is Maxine speaking. And I want to say that that was a mistake that my birthday was yesterday. It's actually Monday.
Monday.
Bastille
coming
Day,
up.
The 14th. So, but thank
okay.
you for the
okay.
happy in advance. Yes, the lady that runs my page made a mistake.
And And
it's
anybody
okay.
that sent her checks and money orders can send another check and another money order.
I know, that's right. Definitely, definitely.
Thank you so much
you
for that and all for my – and I'm glad this show is dedicated to the birthday people, of which I am one. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So how are you? How's everyone doing? So I just want to let all the listeners know there are four people in the studio today. We have Luther, we have Miss Julia, we have the birthday queen, Miss Maxine, and Oren. So welcome the Waters to the studio, everyone.
Oh, thank you. We're glad to be here. This is exciting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We are.
So talking about exciting, we're going to talk about your career. I mean, 250 gold, 160 platinum recording credits, and counting. You know, I mean, really, will it ever stop? We don't ever want it to stop. And that was one thing that the fans definitely said, you know, tell them to keep going. You guys have made some amazing movies, songs in the movies, and some just amazing songs that we can definitely always remember. I mean, good time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been very blessed. We've been very blessed to have the opportunity and the ability to both do those things. So we feel very proud and humbled at the same time.
I love that. I love that humbleness. So, tell your fans a little bit about how you got started.
Well, this is Julia. I first started in the business professionally, and then you know just being able to. Then pull my sister Maxine in, and then after that, my brothers joined us. So, you know, we've all sang, all of our lives because we come from a musical inclined family, you know, our mom, and
mm-hmm.
we're finding out that even on our father's side that there were singers and musicians, and so it's just been music all of our lives.
Wonderful, wonderful. So let me ask you this. So as growing up and being a part of, you know, a musical family or musical background, was there anyone out of the four of you who at first really did not want to be in music at all? Like your goal or your dream was something else like lawyer or doctor or something?
This is Maxine. I really was going to be a kindergarten teacher. My aspirations were at first, and then very young, I got a job at the phone company and started getting promotions there every 6 months. So then for a while I thought that was going to be the key too. And then I was suddenly pulled into recording sessions with Phil Spector and Julia and Oren and Luther eventually. So I just everything... My direction went a total different way, but I was when you're young, I believe you just kind of take a taste of everything and you put all your energy and you're going to be led into where you're going to be.
Right.
So that's what happened. This is Maxine, with me.
So
I
Maxine,
really had no aspiration.
Well, look at where you are now. I mean, really.
Yeah, it's great. Uh-huh. But I have to give all glory to God because I didn't push for that or strive for that, but I was prepared for that because my mother had made sure that we were all musically trained. And so I was equipped to go into the music business, but I didn't do any actual venturing into it, but I was absolutely prepared to be in it. You understand? I just didn't know that's where I was going to end up.
Right. We got a double dose of the music from my mother's side and from my father's side. So the gift is implanted in us. We may not have, all of us may not have looked at the gift as being, oh, this is going to be a career, because when you're young, you have your eyes on all kinds of other things. Like Maxine wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a Marine and a football player. You know.
Okay.
Julia had the total aspiration of being on the stage and being the singer. And Oren, I think Oren, you the same, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, they
all the way committed
that vision of being on the stage and singing. But singing is something that we could all do from an early age. We were in the church choir together. We sang around the house. It was, and we weren't the Jackson Five, so nobody stood up over us. And you know, but if we were like working around the house, we would divide some of the songs up into 4-part harmonies and actually sing the songs. And we were kids. We were little kids.
But that was coming from our musical training also that we were getting, because
right.
My mother always saw to it, like Maxine said, that we were I always took voice lessons. This is Julia. I always took voice lessons and sang in those choirs and things and played at the piano without playing the piano, if you get my drift. But she always saw to it that we got the music lessons with the piano, and Maxine and Oren and Luther actually play the cello. So we were just enriched, just surrounded by music, and my mother listened to music all the time, and it was a variety. It wasn't just one kind of music. It was, all types of music that we listened to, not just gospel, but pop and jazz and
Country.
So we just, we learned to do what they call music appreciation, appreciate all types of music.
Mm-hmm. And Maxine is a gifted classical pianist, She would sit
amazing.
At the piano and play. Oh.
Yeah, my mother really saw to it that I just stuck in there with it. So consequently, I must say I got the family piano.
is anybody mad about that?
No? It's a beautiful, and beautiful piano, and I inherited that. Yeah, but anyway.
Great. I love it. So Maxine, let me ask you a question. So, being that you wanted to be a teacher, who was your greatest influence, though?
Who is my greatest what?
Who is your greatest influence? Yes.
You know what? I must say that I'm not I have people that I like, but I'm not influenced by just like one great person. God gifted me. He put a lot of great people around as I grew up. You know,
in her pathway.
My mother. My sisters and brothers, we all encouraged each other. So we didn't really need outside encouragers a lot. You know, we had family real closeness, and we were encouraged just to be the best we could be whenever and whatever we were doing. So my mother, I would say, would be the biggest encourager when we really get back down to the bottom line. And then us as a family, it wasn't like symbols outside of the family that I was influenced by. It was more ethics and how we were being brought up and what really, how we were guided. Like I said, I was guided in a whole direction I didn't even dream of. Yeah.
Great, great. I mean, kudos to your mom, of course. You know, I say it all the time. Mom, never get enough credit. So, I mean, the mom is really the foundation.
A lot of people can say Maya Angelou or somebody like that, but those were all influences too, but they weren't the greatest influences at coming up. It was practical people that were in our faces, our pastor and our Girl Scout troop leader, people like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great, great. I mean,
as
you know, some people, often,
me.
Right. Some people often give credit to, you know, the big names, and, you know, it really, really starts at home. So, Julia and Maxine, you guys, you ladies are the voices behind Diana Voss's Someday We'll Be Together. How did you guys start that project, and how did that come about?
Well, we did a lot back then it was a lot of female groups, and Maxine and I were doing a lot of, when Motown moved out here to Los, you know, from Detroit out here to Los Angeles. Then we were fortunate blessed to be get called on those sessions, and it just was word of mouth, and working with some of the producers up there that were doing that were producing, like your Diana Rosses, and
that was Johnny Bristol.
Yeah, Johnny Bristol,
right.
At
and
the
all
time.
Of his, work at that time. In our industry, each of us have clients that call us when they're doing their projects. And Johnny Bristol happened to be one that fell in love with our sound. So when he did Junior Walker, all of that stuff we did for Johnny.
Oh yeah, Junior.
So he happened to be one of our clients that loved our sound. So that's how we're on Diana Ross's stuff and Junior Walker, like I said, from Johnny Bristol too, who has passed now. Some of the greats from Motown have passed, so made a transition.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
yeah, Orrin had gone
Warren,
into live stage, like coming. He had always done the groups and things like that, going all the way. And actually, Julia did also the groups. And Maxine, I actually played congas in a little combo. So, you know, outside of the singing, as far as and outside of the orchestra. But Orrin always did those parts in the plays, and Julia did those parts in the plays. She would do Summertime. I remember her singing Summertime. And then the Mikado, right.
Porgy and Bess. You know, we were in the school
Porgy
plays
and Bess.
Talking about.
Right. And then Orrin actually, I remember when Orrin came out and was actually on stage, making money as a performer on stage in plays. Orrin, you want to talk about that?
Stated earlier, our music experience, I mean, I'm so glad to hear Maxine even say Junior Walker, because I kind of forgot about Junior and all that good old music that we did with him. You ain't lying. So it's kind of like when you're involved in it, you kind of just continue to look forward. That's why so much has happened, and now to have you guys acknowledge the fact that it even happened, I mean, as I said earlier, it's very humbling to see that what you contributed is so well appreciated.
And
so
many records with Bobby Womack, that was crushing. That was crushing, because I can remember many sessions with Bobby and that
poet album with him.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So rest in peace to Mr. Bobby.
No, I'm okay, thanks.
Yeah, he was quite a talent. Working with those people, him, Lamont Dozier, and people like that, it's just quite a creative experience to be exposed to that type of genius.
Yeah, Willie Hutch and the
Yeah.
The Mac.
Yeah.
all of that.
Yeah. Quincy Jones, all of that kind of stuff.
Michael. Mm. Yeah, it's been
quite
a career for us.
Yes. It ended up being, really, Ms. Diamond, it ended up being a word-of-mouth situation for us. So that's why it's hard to lock us into some of the exact, when did you start and what did you do and that, because it was like a word-of-mouth thing. Once we got in there and people heard the family sound, because we were working at one point, you know, I was in another group, Orin was in another group, Maxine was in another group. We were doing with other people, and then we started collecting ourselves and doing more and more things together with, you know, starting basically together with Phil Spector when we did the Righteous Brothers, You Lost That Loving Feeling. That was a moment, because I had been working with Phil Spector and then and Maxine also, and then when Luther and Orin happened to come to the studio with us, and he asked them, well, can you guys sing? And they said, yeah. And he said, get on in there and start singing. And that was for the Righteous Brothers, and that song is what is that?
You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
You Lost That Loving Feeling.
It's the most played record in the history of radio.
Yeah.
Ooh,
uh-huh. You Lost That Loving. Yeah, the most played record in the history of radio. We also have sang on the biggest record in the history of radio, Michael Jackson's. I mean, the history of records, Michael Jackson's Thriller. The biggest movie in the history of soundtracks, Avatar. I mean, the biggest movie in the history of movies, Avatar. The biggest soundtrack in the history of soundtracks, Whitney Houston, The Bodyguard. And also the longest running sitcom in the history of television, which is the Jefferson theme, that Moving On Up. So there are five really huge things among the other accomplishments that God has enabled us to experience. So, but those are some that I think are major. They should be maybe in the Guinness Book of World Records even and stuff like that.
Yes, yes. Your voices have been heard on more recordings than anyone in the music industry right now. So there's definitely a lot of fans who look up to you, and there are a lot of individuals who are trying to break into the industry who – look at every single thing you do to try to, you know, imitate that or follow that. But I think that that's going to be a little bit untouchable.
It might be, to be honest with you, the way the technology is changing and things like that. But also those things that are past are not the only things. We are still, we did Adele 21. We did Muse, The Fray. The Pet Shop Boys, Noah and the Whale, and people like that. Maxine is doing Shelby Lynn. And so we are continuing to do things, Planet of the Apes, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the new James Brown movie. So we're continuing to continuously moving ahead. It's just been one just wonderful life. You know, and as Maxine said, I think most of the blessings are due to our wonderful mother who sacrificed so much and raised us by herself, because our father got killed when we were very small, and she raised us the way she did, and that's why we still are very close to this day, because of the inspiration of our mother. So
he died in the Korean War. He was an Army officer.
Yeah, first lieutenant.
Right.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'm definitely sorry to hear that.
But
right after he bought the house here in L.A.
Yeah. You know, one thing, Ms. Diamond, you know, we were blessed with our music training and all of that. See, our talents go beyond just doing singing on records. And that's why they go back into the TVs and the movies, because we all learned to read back then also, by taking instruments, you know, playing instruments like the piano, and the cello. We had to learn how to read, to sight read, and so we
music.
Were. Pardon, Maxine?
Specified read music, so they'll know. Not
yes, to... yes, read music. Yeah.
So I see that some of your TV and your film credits include works such as The Lion King, Forrest Gump, mm-hmm. Happy Feet, King Kong. I mean, the list goes on and on. Little Shop of Horrors, that was one of growing up, that was one of my favorite movies.
A lot of people like that one.
But we would, like I said, we've been very blessed to expand our craft with learning the things that we needed to do to get into those other areas outside of just doing records, learning to, read music. So we were called to do that. And most of the career, we never had worked really with management. We worked with a little management when we, went into doing our own albums back then in the day. But for doing our session work, it was always strictly word of mouth. We didn't have an agent or a manager or anything to go out and search out anything, So that's truly a blessing, and that's the same way we still work still today. We know that we're very blessed, and we thank God because it's because of Him, not because of us.
Mm-hmm. So tell your fans, you've worked with an astronomical amount of people, okay? But tell some of your fans some of your favorite moments when writing, some of your greatest aspirations, such as the project Thriller with Michael Jackson. What was that experience like at that time? And then now looking back, what is that feeling like now?
It's a great rush. To do just the Thriller, we have done Michael stuff, so have got to be there, never can say goodbye, I'll be there, I saw Mama kissing Santa Claus. We did more than just the new one, but the personal experience with Michael was, I think, closer when we did the Thriller, because, it was just us and them, just doing it right there at his house and everything, and that just, he was an extraordinary person, God rest his soul. His spirit and who he was just a very, very extraordinary person to be around. That's how I felt about it. Someone so creative, so talented, so specialized in what he did, so much so that, as well documented, that a lot of his childhood was lost because he was on the path that he was on. So that was a very special time.
As far as I'm concerned, he's what I'm calling a true genius in the field, in what he did. He was a true genius, and he will never be replaced. No. Never.
Yes, I agree with that. So, Oren, talk to us about some of your favorite in-studio moments during that time.
There were always things happening. There are still things happening to this day, and I just want to continue to make that very clear that we're still participating on a very enjoyable level in the entertainment industry till to this day. But there were so many things that were happening back then that when you're there, you have an appreciation for it, but to now look back on it is sort of mind-boggling, to be honest with you, because it was so much. When you're rubbing shoulders with especially Maxine and Jewel, Rick James, and we're in there with Smokey Robinson and Guns N' Roses and the biggest stars in the doggone history of the world, Neil Diamond. And
of which we're still in Neil Diamond's band right now to this day. This is what we do.
And so there have been a lot of times where unique things happen, and a lot of them, the good and the bad. The bad you can count up to the opportunity to grow as a person outside of the music. And one thing, music is a caption really of the whole world in one little move. The influence of the whole world is in the music, and the music is in the influence of the whole world. So it's like a cycle, so to speak, that keeps you in touch with yourself, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. So there are many moments that I can think about. One was, once again, just to go to Michael, how he would call his birds down and stuff like that is something that I still do to this day. He had a gift in dealing with animals and stuff like that. So to see that and to be in the studio with somebody like Lamont Dozier, who would, or Bobby Womack, like we talked about, just to pick a melody seemingly out of the air and ask you to sing a certain melody with a certain rhythm, mm-hmm. and to be away from the music, it won't make sense. But when you would apply that they desired to the music, it would just create a magical moment. So most of the music, most of the extraordinary moments are in the actual music and the sound of the music, where you feel the spirit just take over the whole room and just everybody's touched. And that's why they say when it's right, you know it, because you can just feel the spirit of it in the studio.
Another thing, going in the studio, like we have mostly being your side men is what they called us, or background singers, going in with the attitude of, okay, this is not, I'm just going to throw out a name, this is not Rick James, but this is us now trying to do our best for what he's looking and trying to please them and what they're hearing in their heads and trying to please them. You know, putting your whole self, and it's like when you're hearing it back on the radio, they said, okay, we got a hit. We did good, you know. We got them what they were wanting. And it's like just being a part of them when you're going in that studio, each and every person, different person that we've gone in with. We felt like it was also us.
Right.
That's wonderful, wonderful. So right now we have a caller in the studio who would like to ask you a question. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to bring that caller in. Go ahead, caller. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing fine. My name is Ms. Sequel, and I'm calling from Nevada.
Okay.
And I've been waiting patiently to be able to speak with you and to hear you talk and to share your experiences. But what I would like to say to you is that I really appreciate how you gave credit to your mother and how she raised you. And it's also wonderful, so wonderful that you are still working together as a family. You don't see too much of that in musical groups these days, very few. And also I just want to end it with, you're just so talented, so very, very talented, and you're humble as well. I just appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. That'll be a thought that I know all of us will carry into the night. So thank you.
You know, my mother used to always say, you know what, after my father passed, you know, she kind of instilled in, she said, you know what, it's us, we're the family, we got God, but you have to watch each other's backs, and that's what we've always done, because even though we might get in a fight with each other, say if we get in a fight, and when I say fight, wouldn't be any fight like that, but, you know, your disagreements, because everybody is individual and unique, and if anybody else tried to step in, we would all look at them like, wait a minute, where did you come from? You know, this is us. And then we go on, and then we start laughing about what we were forget what we were even having a disagreement or whatever over. And most of the time it was, a creative disagreement.
Yes,
you know, what's funny is, this is Maxine speaking, it's when the people, the producer and it's in the studio, and they just get so tickled because we're so real, sisters and brothers. You know, it brings everybody back to the recollection of how they are with their siblings.
Siblings.
And so they're behind the console just cracking up when we're like, what? Well, you need to do this. You know, it's funny seeing people because we relate to each other normally as a normal family, too. We work together, but we're really normal people. So it's funny people get tickled when we're doing what we do as a, you know, family and working at the same time.
One story I always like to share is on Friday nights when my mother would go to choir rehearsals, and she would leave the four of us there, and it never failed that every Friday night that house would get torn up with three against one in no different combination. It would be different combinations of three against one every Friday night, and she'd come in and she would light into each of us. And,
yes.
So we were just like Maxine said, just a normal family, and we had our fusses and our fights and our disagreements, but we always knew that we were each other's support, that we had to we had to watch, as my mother said, each other's backs.
I think that
and she didn't know how to say it. She would reinforce it too. Believe you, enforce it. She would enforce it and made it very clear to everybody and everybody around us that we were her kids. And you know what I mean? The discipline part of it was there. She was a strong woman. You know, God rest her soul. And I think that that also now helps propel us ahead when we want to get soft or when we want to get weak. You know what I mean? Because she instilled the word, and the Bible will tell you, the word will tell you, raise a child up in the way she go, he will not depart. You know, and so stuff like that. That's why we're stand strong in faith with our conviction, not just by words.
And she also sought on the pieces that she couldn't put in. She sought good people that would provide those kinds of support, like Mr. Towns.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he was my Boy Scout leader, you know, and basically up until I got into high school, that was, you know, between him and Mr. Shaw, there were certain people that she would actually direct me to that could provide background support that she couldn't provide for me as a male, you know. And I'm still very grateful to those men. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, hello.
With the saying of it takes a village to raise a child, that was a reality then, because your neighbor's mama would tear your butt up. You know what I mean? It was that kind of stuff going on. You might have been able to slip it past your mother, but if the neighbor across the street seen you, you were still getting it, you know.
Yeah.
So.
One time, Reverend Epps, one time it was raining, and I was walking to 118th Street School, and it was raining, and I had a boat, and I kept floating that boat down the street, and I would get it and run back up the street and float it down, and Reverend Epps just drove up and went beep, beep, and pointed at me. I was late for school because I was out playing in the rain, running the boat up and down the gutter. It took a village to bring us through.
I think that real thing has kind of went away when it comes to, you know, a lot of people in the neighborhood helping raise a child. You can't do that nowadays.
No.
No.
Swoop up on you now.
So we're going to give your fans... We're going to give your fans a treat. We're going to play What's On My Mind. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about that project, okay? So
okay.
Stay tuned right here on Faith of Success Radio. Our in-studio guest today is The Waters, right here on Interviews.
Hey,
thank you.
And we are back live in the studio with today's special guest, The Waters, and that was What's On My Mind, right here on Interviews with the Stars.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounded good. I hadn't heard it in a while. Listen to me, this is Maxine.
Yes, I remember being at a really small skating rink in Santa Cruz, California.
Okay.
And they played that, and they said, you know, back skaters only. And me, I'm like, oh, I can't back skate. But I kept thinking, what is that song? You know, like, hey, DJ, where'd you find that? Like, I had to have that. Yeah, so, I, you know, I've heard that at, you know, at skating rinks and, you know, what they call old school skating parties. And it's like, man, that song's always, always a classic, and I love that song.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a long time since we heard it. It does. It sounded good.
I mean, that's
you know,
what I call
the harmonies that go into where by being family, it's hard to beat those harmonies. That's another reason that people have always used us, and that's why that's probably what caught your ear on that song, because there was some nice harmonies in there that I was just listening to.
And vibrato.
Yeah, match vibrato.
Mm-hmm. So tell your fans exactly what you have going on right now. Like, where are some of the places they can see you featured or coming up?
Well, we were in we got the Society of Singers, the SOS, the Ella Fitzgerald Voice Award for the Society of Singers. And that was an accomplishment that you know, that was really surreal this year. Along with we were in that the documentary about background singers, 20 Feet from Stardom. We were featured in there, you know. And
it won the Academy Award.
It won an Oscar. So
it
that
did.
Was like, it won an Oscar.
That's a documentary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as I said, the new James Brown movie. That's going to be coming out soon, as well as the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which is, I think, going to be released, I think, tomorrow or something like that.
And then we have a Sony UK bought our rights to our Rista album. They licensed it out to Cherry Records, and it's going to be released in the UK on the 28th of this month. And then it'll be on Amazon.com a few days after that. I'm not sure the date, but maybe closer to the 1st of August. Well, that is the end of the month and the 1st of August, that people can go online and buy Watercolors is the name of that album. And they reissued it, you know. So we're very excited about that, because that was like just got a call out of the blue and said, they wanted to, you know, they were going to reissue. They had bought all the rights to it, and so that'll be a blessing. So it looks like that, you know, you think when you did something and it wasn't a success at that time, that okay, well, let's just keep moving on, and that's what we did. We kept moving on, but then it has come back to full term, where you say, oh, well, your work that you've done, like biblically, is not in vain. Look, it's coming back out again. You know, so we're real excited about that. That's going to be exciting to see exactly what happens with that particular album, Watercolors.
And then also, I've been collaborating, this is Maxine, with a country music artist, Shelby Lynn. So I actually played keyboards and collaborated 5 inspirational songs on her EP. It's called Thanks, THANKS, with Shelby Lynn. So I've been going in and out playing keyboards on her song when I can. She's on a tour now. So that's happening too.
And I've been working also writing new songs with Kenny Burke from the 5 Stair Steps, that Ooh Child and stuff like that, and we're and John Barnes as well. We're working on some new music for the Waters and stuff, and that's proving to be a lot of fun.
So we're always doing something. This is what we do, you know. And all aspects of it, music, entertainment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Julia and I,
are,
as I said before, we travel with Neil Diamond, and his, we're part of his band.
So you travel to over 6 continents. I mean, what is your favorite, or what was your favorite continent to perform at?
I like Barcelona. This is Maxine. I like the weather there, everything, the whole atmosphere when we were there. We were with there with Paul Simon, that was my favorite place. That if I wanted to go somewhere again, it would be there.
I like good old Louisiana. Eat that good old Cajun food and meet those good old sweet people that treat you like they'd have known you for your whole life and just met you. I just love some Louisiana, and I'm saying Louisiana on purpose. I know we could say Louisiana, but I'm going to say Louisiana because it's just, they're in their own world. You know, they got their own music, exotico music, and they just, it's just awesome time, and the cooking is totally and completely ridiculous, you know. So I like it there. Although there are many spots on the face of the earth, Hong Kong, and the exotic places, China, you know, and places like that that are fun to go. But just the people, I think, they're warm all over the world, in Bali and everywhere, Indonesia and all that. But the good old Louisiana people, they know how to put it down.
And
you
Europe,
know.
You know what? I find that Europe places, European places, are really tuned in to music. I mean, I know everybody's tuned into music, but it's something about the atmosphere of performing in the European countries also that give you a charge. And whenever we perform, we're with some of your top notch people. So we're in your big arenas and your stadiums and your biggest festivals that you have around the world. So we've performed, you know, amongst hundreds of thousands of people at one time. An exciting place to perform was at Central Park with Paul Simon, when it was 750,000 people. All you could see was a sea of people there when we were out on tour with him. And that was exciting, you know, to be out on that tour with them. We performed in Israel, where at that time we were with Fame, the TV show, because we did all of the songs, all of the singing for the TV show Fame. And when they went out on tour, they called it Fame-a-mania, like Beatlemania. So, I mean, even as far as coming up to the buses and thinking that we were going to get overturned, you know, with people pushing against the buses. So that was an exciting, it was a little scary, but it was exciting, you know, because that's how they wanted us to be, you know. I mean, Fame-a-mania, just fix your Fame-a-mania like Beatlemania was here.
Yes. So, do you all ever get nervous when it's time to perform? I mean, you've been in the industry for over 35 years and, you know, over 5 decades, and it's, you've been a part of some amazing productions. But do you ever get nervous, like, you know, how is this
going
to go?
Well, you know what?
I find myself,
this is Julia again, I find myself being more nervous when we perform here at home.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's when I find myself, you know, the butterflies before you go on. Once you hit that stage, that's gone. That's totally gone. But I find that the anticipation of, I wonder how they're going to receive us, are, you know, because you're performing against in front of your peers that you really know. You're performing against for your family and your friends, and, you know, so That's my thing. I'm a little bit nervous before performing here.
I don't get nervous.
I don't get nervous either.
I don't
get nervous because the people are looking at you and you're looking at them. So it's like hello. So I don't get nervous like that. God is good.
You know when I'll get nervous? If I don't think I'm prepared.
Right.
But if I'm prepared, I am just ready to rock and roll.
That's right.
It might be one song in the show that there's some notes that you have to hit that you're going to have to work, you know, or something in the show, and I might be right before that instance, that part, I might get nervous if it's very difficult or in the break of the voice or something like that. But if basically if we've rehearsed enough, which we do, we like to rehearse, then that nervousness isn't there, because we rehearse where even if you made a mistake, you're going to sing the right note because it just goes there.
Well, because we're professional, that's why.
Right. And because we've rehearsed it, but if I'm uncomfortable about a part, you know, it's going to let some anger.
And maybe I shouldn't have said nervous, but it's like,
right, it's not
but
nervous.
It's like it's not a nervous feeling, but it's like a little butterfly or something made. But like I say, once you hit that stage, that's gone, but it's like,
yeah.
It's not a nervous feeling, but I do get the butterflies, and it only happens, I noticed that it only happens here in L.A.
Yeah,
no place.
And I don't get nervous. Right, I just don't get nervous, but maybe 4 or 5 minutes before the downbeat, I have like an explosion of energy.
Yeah,
but it's not a nervousness. It's a... It's an explosion of energy, ready to go.
Yeah.
And no, it doesn't matter if it's 2 people or 20,000 people. It doesn't matter. It's the same explosion of energy.
I think that happens often to a lot of people when you're performing for people that, you know, when you're performing for anyone that you don't know, you can just sing, you know, you could rap your game for them.
Oh, yes.
And it's people that know you personally, it's like, oh gosh, you know, I have to perform for you. I mean, it's harder, it's tougher.
Yes, but you know, we love what we do, and we know we're gifted at it because God gave us that gift and that talent, and we just, like I say, I can't say how blessed we are. I can't say that enough. You know, that God truly, it's because of Him and not us. You know. Without Him, we wouldn't have been, and that's why I believe wherever He has you, that's what you're going to do. Whatever He has in mind for you, you know, like Maxine went back to her story about, you know, the teacher and everything, but God didn't want her to be that teacher. We're teachers in a different way.
Yes,
we're teachers in
a
different way.
I was definitely going to say she is a teacher because she's giving other people an opportunity.
Yeah. But teaches in a different way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a Facebook question from one of your fans. They said, "What out of all the TV credits and all the films you have filmed, and I know it's a lot, but what was your favorite top two to work on and why?"
Oh God, mine was I think mine was The Lion King.
Mine too.
I think that because when we were in the studio and we were standing there and we were listening, I think at that time we were, you know, we had just kind of put the thing on and we were in the studio and we were listening back, I just started crying because of the words and the film that went with it, because it could be translated, these were animals, but it can be translated to humans, you know.
To me, that The Lion King too. To me it was special because more than just even the movie, so many people that of our industry got to work online,
yes,
on that project. Everybody at some point, almost every backup singer that you know that we worked with, everybody. On that movie, and so we were with different people, different days and long days and fun stuff, that African chanting stuff that we weren't doing all the time.
Yes, it was different.
And just then, it was just an exciting time for the industry here in L.A. to me.
I think so, too.
So it was just like we were just all caught up in, did you get this call for The Lion King and you know, and all that. So it was fun.
Luther and Oren, what was one of your favorite movies or TV shows to work on?
I enjoyed our reoccurrent experience. Well, of course, Lion King was very, very special, and they that just ditto that for me. But also working on the TV show Fame, where we were interacting with the actors and traveling and touring with them, and the experience of being with people that were entertainers but different than us, in that they were dancers and people like that, and hanging out with Debbie and Gene Anthony Ray and Michael D'Angelo and just so many talented people in their own right who did not do what we do. And so therefore it put us in a position where it allowed us to really be in the glory of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, and I really enjoyed touring with them and being around them, because they also brought a different element to entertainment. And I know I grew a lot from my conversations with Debbie and Gene Anthony Ray, God rest his soul, and a lot of other talented people in that cast. It was just, and it lasted so many years. You know, and we would do the music, the episode of music, and the theme, and all of that kind of stuff. It was just, a great, great time.
And doing that,
time
too with Fame, we got the same all types of music that we were used to doing.
Right.
We did pop, we did rock, we did classical,
gospel.
We did show tunes, gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So we did all different types of music, and we sang with a big orchestra. In the studio and also on the tour, because they had the strings, they had big orchestras. It wasn't just the little band. It was the whole orchestra with the strings and the horns and the, you know, so that was a great experience. Yeah, absolutely.
That was a beautiful, beautiful time.
Yeah.
And you could truly stretch out. You could stretch out because of who we were and what we did. We could stretch out.
Yeah.
As far as I know, we could really access all of our talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the dancing.
We actually performed we performed on this. Janet was a part of that cast at one time. Janet Jackson and a lot of people who we just developed good relationships with from that. You know, it was really good. But The Lion King, as far as film, Avatar was awesome. Happy Feet. You know, like that, but a little different than like what my sisters just alluded to. That doggone Lion King was just special.
It was just
really. Yeah. You know, I love the music in Rosewood. I know that it's a, you know, not a lot of people saw it or heard of, but the music in Rosewood just used to just go all the way to my heart, you know.
Yeah, that was beautiful music.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
I love the music.
Even the music from The Color Purple, I mean, you guys worked on that project as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely. Color Purple, a lot
Quincy,
of matter of fact.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah.
Quincy. That was Quincy.
And The Bodyguard, you know, that being with Whitney, who we had done her The Greatest Love of All and all that stuff with Whitney in her debut album. We sang that with her, and it just brings back so many memories of who she was and the sound of her voice too, which was totally amazing.
That's right.
You know, so
one of the greatest voices ever.
So
I'm going to give your listeners one more treat. I'm going to play If I.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And then we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
You were never busy, so like they told.
about the tender touch of you, baby.
You and I, we gotta make a pact.
Just as soon as you get back, I want you home. Oh, baby.
Every day I know the reason why.
That was If I, just wanted to give your fans just a little bit taste of how wonderful that was.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
John Barnes, too, I want to mention John again, who has been really stepping in the gap for us and doing some good things with some of the other songs, that a song that we wrote for our mother and stuff like that. And I just want to just let the world know that he is somebody also that has also made a major contribution to what we're doing now. So I just want to say that and make sure that's straight.
Yep.
Yes, yes. So we have another caller in the studio. We're going to take this caller real quick, and then we're going to end the show by giving your fans an opportunity to contact you on your website, thesingingwatersfamily.com. So we're going to take a caller. Hi, caller. You're in the studio right now.
It must be me. Hello? Hi, this is Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley. How are you?
Hey, Shirley.
Hi.
Oh, that's Shirley.
Yes, me.
Oh, hey, Shirley. That's the lady that put the wrong birthday in the Facebook.
That's okay. We can celebrate. We can celebrate all month long. That's how it
That's
works.
That's right. And I just want to say, "If I" is one of my favorite songs. I really enjoyed the interview and hearing the song.
Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you.
You know we love you, girl.
I love you too. I'm a big fan of the Waters family. Thank you so much.
Well, we do know that. We're a fan of yours too.
We sure are.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Shirley, for calling.
Thank you.
That's funny. She surprises. She's funny.
Yes.
Did you have a question, Shirley? Oh, she had gone.
Yeah, Miss Diamond, you have something?
Yes.
No, I thought that was Shirley.
I wanted to see if Miss Shirley had a question. Miss Shirley, she hung up. So we want to thank her for calling into the show and supporting the show as well and supporting your career. So let's tell your fans how they can contact you or how they can try to get an opportunity to work with you.
Well, we have if you go to the Facebook and look up The Waters on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it the singingwatersfamily.com, is it?
Oh, okay.
And
yes,
the Waters Family Singers. It's the Singing Family Waters and the Waters Family Singers. We actually have two two addresses that they can contact us on.
Yes.
We should have got that from Shirley before she got up.
Yeah,
phone.
She got it.
No, it's okay. No,
it's good. Those are the ones, though.
Yeah, so it's the Singing Waters Family, singingwatersfamily.com. Your fans
.com.
Can catch you there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone you would like to say hello to before we end the show on today?
I'd just like to shout out to everybody that took their time to listen to us and hope that we, you know, were able to answer some of the questions that they may have had. And so just want to thank everyone that tuned into your show for taking a listen and sticking it out with us there.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
thank
right.
you. Thank
we appreciate you.
You
guys more than we appreciate you guys more than you know.
More
than so
you
please
know.
Keep the prayers going. We are definitely approachable, and we appreciate you too, Ms. Diamond, that you would take the time out to get us on your show, because it's been just a pleasure with everybody, you and everybody else that works with your organization. So we want to send a shout out and a thank you to them as well.
And don't forget to go and look at around the 1st of August, look for the reissue of our album on Amazon. It would be Watercolors, The Water.
Watercolors. Yes, definitely.
So
for the fans out there, I'm going to have links to The Waters on my Facebook page, which is Ms. Diamond Hot Topics. It would also be on Faces of Success Radio's Facebook page as well. You'll be able to contact them, like their page, like their pictures, and, you know, just stay abreast to everything that they're doing. So on behalf of Faces of Success Radio and myself, I would like to say thank you for being a guest today in the studio. You all have been amazing, and we can't wait to see what else wonderful you will release and you will be a part of.
Well, thank you so much, and much success to your radio station too. It's a blessing to be, you know, to have an avenue like that you can introduce folks like us on.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So thank you for being a guest today, and we're going to end the show today with "We Are All the Same" right here on Faces of Success Radio. I am your host, Ms. Diamond, with my special guest, The Waters.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This world better. Do you ever think about the folks that have to go without love and affection? People living on the street and never get enough to eat.
Same
cheese.